need to speak a little bit more about this particular point. I'm not alone in my temptation. My Lord Jesus is helping me as I yield to Him. And so this is really what I want to enlarge upon or develop a little bit further this morning. Turn, if you will, to Philippians. And I'm going to read a portion out of 3 and into 4, because there's a particular verse that we all know so well in Philippians 4 that will take up the first part of this message. Philippians chapter 3. My Lord Jesus helps me in all my temptations as I yield to Him. So Paul has written to the Philippians, another one of his prison letters, and here in chapter 3, he says this in verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. There are people that Paul is saying, keep your eyes upon those who are following the pattern that we have taught you. Imitate me, imitate them. You will be blessed in doing so. And then his heart breaks here in this next verse, verse 18. He says, for many, of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. There are those that were in the congregation at one time, those who were a part of the community of faith, who had professed a love for Jesus, who have now turned from the cross of Christ. They've become an enemy of Christ and that teaching that flows from the cross, the teaching of redemption, that atonement. They've turned away from Him and they've disassociated themselves from the assembly. Paul goes on to say, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. So here it is. There are people that will come into a congregation and they will profess love to Christ Jesus, but in time they will turn from that because their minds are not set upon Christ Jesus. Their minds are set upon earthly things. The focus of our life, everything that I've been teaching thus far for the past 4 weeks about a disciple, is that we are to give our whole self to Jesus. Mind, body, and soul. He is to be the everything in our life. Not anything else. Anything else is idolatry. And Paul says that our citizenship here is in heaven. That's where the focus ought to be. From it, from heaven, we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. The Lord is coming one day. This is the teaching of the Scriptures. This is the teaching of Christ, that He will come back for His people and that He will transform us completely. Our bodies will be changed. They'll be like His. They will not be subject to death any longer. And all because of the cross. And we dare not, as believers in a congregation, professing believers in a congregation, give up because things got too tough. We dare not give in to temptation and turn our back on Christ and the cross because He is our everything. And so in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And so finally he says here that we ought to set our minds on what is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So our minds ought to be filled every day with those things that are good for us. When we fill our minds full of junk, when we fill our minds full of the temporary, when we fill our minds full of the earthly, we become what we think. Again, reiterates what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So he goes, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's that verse we all know, right? You know, we go out there to the Christian bookstore and we might see it printed up and it says something to us. And we buy that little knickknack or trinket so that we can put it on our wall and at home to be reminded, or maybe it's a magnet, we put it on the refrigerator, or something we put on our desk to remind us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So that made me think about where we were again. I'm not alone in my temptations. My Lord Jesus helps me in all of them, in all of my temptations as I yield to him, because I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is what Paul is talking about. I can do everything through him. I have that ability now to live the new life in Christ Jesus, but I can only do that as he gives me strength. The power to do that, the ability to live a life in Christ, comes directly from Christ himself. And the end result of all of that is peace and contentment. And I think our struggle is to live life the way we want to live it. We don't live according to the way God wants us to live it. We fall into that sinful habit. And we've got to recognize it for what it is and put it off. So what Paul is saying here is whatever temptation he faces, he can overcome through Christ who gives him strength. Whatever inner turmoil that he has in his life, personal struggles that he has in his spirit, he can overcome those temptations through Christ. Because it is Christ who gives him that power to do so as he yields to Christ. Whatever assault on his faith, whatever assault on his health, remember, Paul had eye problems. So whatever assault on his health, whatever assault on his faith, whatever assault on his job, if you will, his mission, whatever assault on his cupboard, his pocketbook, his wardrobe, his transportation, his shelter, all of these things he can overcome through Christ who gives him strength. Whatever relational difficulty he faces, now think about that for a minute. Whatever relationship problem he has in life, and he had a few. He had a few that we know of, right? He argued with Barnabas when they were ready to go out on a mission trip. And he argued about taking along John Mark, who had abandoned them on the previous mission trip. And it was such a sharp discord between the two that they parted ways. He faced a difficulty, a relationship difficulty, so much so that it caused him and Barnabas to part ways, to split up. So whatever relational difficulty Paul faces, whether it's a falling out or whether it's a confrontation. Remember, there was a time when he confronted Peter because Peter was drawing back once this group from Jerusalem came. He was drawing back to sit with the Jewish brethren and to distance himself from the Gentile converts. And Paul said, hey, you know, you're not doing what's right here, Peter, and you're even leading Barnabas astray in following your pattern on there. So Paul confronts Peter about it. That's a relationship problem, isn't it? Whatever relational difficulty he faces, he can overcome through Christ. This ought to be an encouragement to you. All of these things he can overcome through Christ who gives him strength. The secret to Paul's ability to do everything that pleased the Lord was when he yielded to Christ. And so Paul is also intimating with this statement that he can do nothing apart from Christ. And that's the same admonition for us, isn't it? We can't do anything that pleases the Lord unless we are yielded to the Lord, unless we are walking in His strength and not our own. If you are claiming Christ as your Savior and Lord, and yet you consciously, you knowingly give in to your sinful temptations every day, you are not relying on Christ's strength. You're relying on your own. And furthermore, you're in danger of a very serious heart condition. That heart condition is a cold, callous, hard heart. You have the appearance of godliness, and yet all along you're denying the power of godliness in your life by not yielding to Christ Jesus. Remember, the point I'm trying to labor here, the point I'm trying to enlarge upon is that I'm not alone in these temptations in life. I'm not alone in the trials of life. My Lord Jesus helps me in all of them as I yield to Him. But if my heart is cold and callous, if it's hardened, I just have an appearance of godliness. I don't really have the power of godliness in my life because I'm cut off from my source of strength. When I don't yield to Christ, I have no power. And we need to beware. Just as we're warned in Hebrews chapter 3, listen to what it says there. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says this in the Word of God, "Beware, brethren, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." None of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Who is he speaking to? Brethren, right? Beware, brethren. He's speaking to those who have professed love for Christ Jesus. He's speaking to the church. Beware that you don't have a heart that is sinful and unbelieving that turns away from the living God. Don't let sin's deceitfulness harden you. And then verse 14, he says that the only way that we will share in Christ, listen to this, is if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. You have no confidence at all before the Lord when you are sinning against Him. You know that you can't stand in His presence and be guiltless. Your conscience is stricken. You feel shamefaced before the Lord. If not now, certainly on the day of judgment when you stand before Him. But He's saying we've only come to share in Christ if we hold firmly, if we stand firm in that confidence that we had at first. I can think about two people here. Charles Templeton, who was a very well-known evangelist back in the 40s, as well-known as Billy Graham. In fact, the two of them linked together, and you may have heard the story somewhere along the line, but it was Charles Templeton who invited Billy Graham to be the evangelist for Youth for Christ International. But over the process of time, somehow, some way, the heart of Charles Templeton was revealed to be one who doubted what he was preaching to the masses. He was a man who had an unregenerate heart and had only been masquerading, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. He came to a certain point after going to Princeton Seminary where he comes out as an agnostic and the evangelical world is thrown into a frenzy, into a fit. How is this possible for one of these evangelists on par with Billy Graham to turn away from the faith? And it goes on in his last book, the title of his last book, My Farewell to God, describes that awful journey into unbelief. He was a man who died in unbelief, a man who seemingly started well, but a man who revealed who he truly was. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So yielding to Christ Jesus is the key to a life of contentment. Yielding to Christ Jesus is the key to overcoming all my temptations and all my trials in life. We live in a world of confusion. We live in a world of chaos. And yet I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. He gives me the power and the strength to overcome every day. So how do I get that? How do I get that strength? This is nothing new to you. I must remember and practice these things, these five things that I'm going to list out here to close this message. Five things if I am to yield to Christ as a true disciple, not a false one. Number one, am I in relationship with Christ Jesus? Am I related to Him? Am I born again? John chapter 3. If I'm not born again, I'll never see the kingdom of God and of Christ. Am I walking with Christ in the light? 1 John chapter 1. I can't say that I have fellowship with Jesus and continue to walk in the darkness. God is light. Christ is in the light. If I refuse to walk in the light, if I continue to walk in the darkness of this world, in its sin before God, I cannot be in relation with Christ Jesus. Do I have a spiritual connection with Him through the new birth, through regeneration? It doesn't come just by sitting in church. You're not just related to Christ Jesus because you come to church. Like you bring a dance card in the old days, right? And you can get it punched so you can get a dance, right? You don't bring your church attendance card here so you can get it punched and you've got a relationship with Christ. It doesn't work that way. It is a spiritual connection. It requires a spiritual birth, a new birth, a birth from above. Listen to how it's put here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The one who says, I know Him, I know Christ, but does not do what He commands is a liar. And the truth is not in him. 1 John 2, 4. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Are you in relationship to Christ Jesus? This is number one. The relationship that we have with the Lord is the greatest relationship we will ever have, and it ought to be so important to us that every day we seek to cultivate that relationship. Not just Sunday, not every other Sunday, not once a month Sunday. Every day of our lives we ought to be cultivating that greatest of all relationships. So that's number one. Am I in relationship with Christ Jesus? Number two, am I really listening to His voice? How much is God in my ears versus the world in my ears? There's a poll that I looked at. I don't often look at polls because polls can be wrong. But I looked at a poll that spoke about the average American who listens to music 4 hours per day. That's the average. 4 hours of music, 5 hours of TV per day. And if you're older than 65, the average goes up to 7 hours of TV per day. 32 minutes on time-shifted TV. I guess that's playback on video or a DVR or something. 1 hour using the internet. 1 hour and 7 minutes on a smartphone. 46 minutes listening to radio speakers. How much is God in my ears versus the world? I mean, tally all of that up, that's practically the entire waking existence of a normal human being, right? And that's the average American. Listen, if Sunday is the only day that your ears are open to the Spirit of God, you are not really listening to His voice. How can you go through the week and not once hear Him? Keep your Bible closed and you'll never hear Him through the week. Remember what He said in John 10, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." So number one, am I in relationship with Jesus Christ through the new birth? Number two, am I really listening to His voice? Number three, am I communicating with Him openly? How much am I in prayer? The Word of God says this, pray always. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Pray always. If my prayer life is only saying grace when food is served, I have no prayer life. And if I have no prayer life, I have no strength. The greatest weakness in the church is its weak prayer life. Evangelical Alliance in 2014 did a study of 1,500, surveyed 1,500 people. The study said that 87% of the people that were surveyed, 87% of 1,500 people agreed, quote, that every Christian needs to spend time alone with God on a daily basis, and that without that, their faith will suffer. But 42% then said they find it difficult to find time on a regular basis to pray and read the Bible. To pray and read. Am I communicating with Him openly? Am I in prayer? Number four, am I obedient to His Word? How can I obey Christ when I don't really know what He said? Again, this study was very interesting because it said that those born before 1960, let me see, how many of you were born before 1960? Okay. Those born before 1960, 60% read their Bible every day. 60% of your generation read the Bible every day. Younger Christians, half that. 31% read their Bible every day. A true disciple is a student of Christ Jesus. As Christ has revealed Himself in His Word, you have such an insatiable hunger to know Jesus that you can't help it but be in His Word every day. You can't help it but be communicating with Him every day. You just can't help the fact that you want to hear His voice. You're listening for it. My sheep hear My voice and I know them and they follow Me. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. But if I'm not talking to Christ, I don't have any strength. If I'm not reading about Christ, I don't know who He is. And that verse in John chapter 10 says, I know them. We all remember, I've said it maybe about three or four times over 5 years, we all remember that passage, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in Your name? And it gets down to the very end of it where Jesus says, depart from Me, you who are cursed. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Four-word sentence that is the most awful sentence in the human language for Christ to say to us, I never knew you. For people who consider themselves religious, for those who consider themselves right with God, am I relating to Him? Am I hearing Him or reflecting upon His Word? Am I praying to Him? Am I doing what He says in His Word? Jesus said that He would send us the Holy Spirit. He would send a Comforter to teach us, and that part of the Holy Spirit's ministry to us on a daily basis was that He would take what is mine, Jesus said. He would take of My things and He would show it to you. Are you even seeing what the Spirit of God is showing you in your daily experience? I mean, that this is part of what we need the most as we live life here, right? We are so inundated with the world's message, with all of the hours that you tally up there in that one study as an average American. We're so distracted in our thinking and in our outlook that we can't see Christ out here in the community. And we're not hearing the Spirit of God communicate to us and teach us His way versus the world's way. And that is sinful for us to not hear the voice of the Spirit of God within us, not see what He is showing to us. John chapter 16, verse 14. The last point this morning, number five, am I putting myself in a context to learn and to serve by being involved with other believers in church. What happened to Charles Templeton when he began to surround himself with doubters? He became like them, distancing himself from Christ. Let me close with this last verse out of Hebrews 10 to support this. Am I putting myself in a context to learn and serve? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." If I am to yield to Christ as a disciple, if I really am to do everything through Christ who gives me strength, I have to be in relationship with Him. I have to be listening for Him. I've got to be communicating with Him and obedient to His word that I'm reading, and then putting myself into a context, into a place to learn and to serve with others who belong to Him. Shall we stand, and I'll close in prayer, and we will sing our closing hymn. Gracious Father in heaven, I do pray that you would help us to reflect upon this word this morning and the very simple points that lead to a life of real contentment, a life of power, a life of peace, and teach us to yield to Christ. Help us along in our journey, Lord, and bring others into our life to lock arms with us and walk arm in arm together to the heavenly city, to that promised land. Father, guide and direct us, we pray, now as we sing this love song to you. May it be a joyful noise in your ears this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.